The show is Live and Local. It's your connection to local music and more. And today's show will cover two performances this week, both of them on Thursday. Thursday at noon is going to be the weekly free hour-long program at the Mills Breast Cancer Institute at the Carl Clinic in Urbana. They do have a weekly music series. And it's Too Loud Daddy 3. There's been a number of, obviously there's been two previous presentations featuring some gentlemen, including some doctors at Carl Clinic, who are doing some singing solo and together. And we've got some highlights from previous performances on that series. Barbara Hedlund will join us to talk about the series in general and some of what's coming up. And then in the evening at 8 o'clock at the Iron Post in downtown Urbana, the Charles Lane Jazz Combo will be performing. And Charles is with us in the first part of today's show. That he and his group, well, he's in town. The rest of the group mostly is already in town be recording, putting out a second CD, I guess. I've got the first one right in front of me from which we are about to hear a sample. It's called The Price of Air. And this is a suite called Prince.
Thank you.
That's the Charles Lane combo in music by himself called Sweet Prince. That's S-U-I-T-E colon Prince. And I gather that's a pun, Charles.
A little bit.
Referring to, you tell me, your dog.
Yeah. The tune was written, was being conceived really while, just after my dog had died, and he was about 15. So kind of dealing with that and composing the three parts of the tune. It starts off as kind of a ballad, then goes into kind of just a two-chord funk groove, and then into a kind of a blues funk at the end. Just trying to channel how I felt about my dog's passing and his life as well through the music.
And so, what kind of dog was Prince?
Prince was a toy poodle, little guy.
A toy poodle.
Yeah.
You don't see poodles all that often anymore.
I know, you know, and especially toy poodles. Don't see them as much. You see a lot of Bichon Frises, but not a
now,
lot of
what
toy
is that?
Poodles. They're like bigger French dogs, not as good as poodles.
See, lots of other kinds of unusual dogs. Well, my guest for this portion of Live and Local is Charles Lane, and the members of his combo for the purposes of the recording you just heard were himself on tenor sax in the case of that tune, also plays soprano. Brent Jordan played drums and cymbals. Chris Nolte, double bass. Lara Driscoll, piano, and Zubin, how does he say his last name?
Adalji.
Adalji. A trumpet player. And Charles is a graduate of the University of Illinois. He graduated just last year, not this couple months ago, but 2009, with a concentration in both jazz and ethnomusicology.
Well, my minor was in anthropology, and with a specific focus on ethnomusicology. I did a lot of work, especially with Professor Tom Torino, on Andean music in the Altiplano in like Peru and Bolivia. Studying that was really interesting to me, to study music of different cultures, especially ones that aren't necessarily incorporated as much as I think they should be into American music. And I found a lot of similarities between those musics and jazz specifically, so it really piqued my interest. So took on that minor in anthropology. It was a really fruitful experience, especially studying with Tom.
What kind of similarities did you find?
Well, jazz, from all of the readings that I've done, the beginnings of jazz really came out of the community. And it was an opportunity, especially for the African-American community, to come together and create something when in the past, they didn't really have as many opportunities to do that, especially in a performance setting. And that's something about jazz that I love, that it's about the community and about coming together and about sharing a shared experience. And in Bolivia and in Peru, the indigenous music there, is the sole purpose of it is to bring the community together. You're not, it's frowned upon and not seen as really socially acceptable to even practice music independently. Composers, when they compose music on their flutes or charangos, they, on pan flutes and stuff, they do what's called whispering. They don't even play it fully out because it's seen as being socially unacceptable. The only time that a full performance or really a full performance of the instruments themselves happens is at community festivals. And I think that's a really beautiful way to look at music, that it's not about the individual performing it. It's about bringing a community together and sharing something with the community. So I see the separation between the performer and the audience as something that's getting further and further in jazz, that, you know, you have performances at like Lincoln Center where you have the performer all the way up on the stage and the audience is in their seats and just sitting there. And what I really love about jazz, and especially the early days of jazz, those early clubs and jam sessions and stuff, is that the community really participated in the music. It was an important part of the music. And I've talked to a lot of older players that see those two things as being inseparable, the community and the music itself. And it's something that is really important to me as a musician. And so when I learned about that in my anthropology courses here at the university, I wanted to look into it more and develop my own theories about how those two musics can be joined together.
So since you finished up here, you've moved to Philadelphia to do some rather interesting community work of a very different kind. Talk about that just a little bit.
Well, I was fortunate enough to be selected for an organization called Teach for America. And, you know, just like any nonprofit organization, there's pluses and minuses to Teach for America. But the one thing that I love about them is that they put teachers in the classroom. And so the purpose of the organization is to what they would say is to close the achievement gap. And the educational achievement gap in this country is huge, especially in urban communities and rural communities. And Philadelphia has one of the greatest needs for teachers in the country. So when I applied for the organization, I put down that I would be willing to teach in Philadelphia, and now I'm teaching. This past year, I taught sixth grade at McKinley Elementary School in Philadelphia, in the neighborhood of Kensington, Philadelphia. It's a pretty rough neighborhood, but it was a wonderful experience. It was different, you know, studying music in college and really having that be my focus for my entire life is what I want. And I want to be a performer for the rest of my life, but I felt like this was something that I needed to do, and that, you know, where would we be without teachers? So seeing what that world was like, contributing to the community in that way, was important to me. And it's been a great experience so far. It's been really difficult, but a very, very good experience.
Are you the sole classroom teacher? Are you working with other teachers in that situation?
I'm the sole. This past year, I was the sole classroom teacher. It was a self-contained sixth grade classroom. So I only had 19 students. I was lucky enough to have a small classroom, but I had them all day, which was a lot different from my experience in sixth grade when I would, you know, switch teachers for each class, for each subject area. But I was teaching all four major subjects. And
how do you prepare yourself for that as mostly a musician?
It's difficult. Teach for America puts you through what's called Institute, the summer before you go in. So it's like a 6-week, really, really intensive training. And as much as they purport to that it prepares you for going into the classroom, nothing can really prepare you for that. It's not, you know, I'm a young person, but it's definitely one of, if not the hardest job I can imagine, is being a teacher. And one that deserves definitely the most amount of respect that I can imagine. And, you know, you kind of just have to dive in head first. And being a musician helped me, really, because studying music and studying something that I really loved in college made me really love to learn. And so that was something that I would try to channel to my students, that, you know, you shouldn't look at this as something that you have to do, but rather as an opportunity to gain knowledge. So, you know, my quintet out in Philadelphia came in and we did an assembly for the kids, and they really liked that because they don't have music at the school. You know, rarely do they get to see actual instruments, let alone a live performance, especially of a music that they're not familiar with. So it was cool to give them that opportunity. And then I formed an after-school club where we would get together on Wednesday afternoons and listen to hip-hop records and talk about hip-hop. It's a music that's really important to them, and a music that actually... jazz and hip-hop are coming closer and closer together these days. It's something that I really love about it. And we talked about, you know, what that music means to them, and just giving them an opportunity to really just talk about music in a comfortable setting, because they don't have an opportunity to do that. And you'd be surprised the amount of insightful and interesting things they have to say about music.
Can you give me any examples?
Well, you know, when we listen to hip-hop artists, like some of my favorites, we listen to the Fugees or Lauryn Hill or Erykah Badu or Common or Jay-Z or any of those people, the way that they interpret the lyrics is, you know, much different. I grew up in the north suburbs of Chicago, which I love the town that I'm from, and I'm grateful for everything that it was, but, you know, it wasn't the inner city of Philadelphia by any stretch of the imagination. And so the lyrics and the way that the music is conceived means something totally different to my students than it does to me. And hearing their perspective, as, you know, the experiences that these musicians talk about and these artists talk about in their music are things that they can relate to on a daily basis, you know. And that's something that, when I was listening to hip-hop growing up, really just I had to use my imagination as to what those lyrics might mean. And, you know, not that that's any worse or any better, but hearing it from people that are living that life is an eye-opening experience, and hearing their perspective is really, really great.
I read on your website, I think, it must have been, that one of your goals as a musician is to try to pull in some of these other influences you mentioned earlier, Andean music and here hip-hop, into your experience and playing up jazz. Is this recording that we just sampled and are going to hear another sample from, is that an example of that?
I would say so. You know, it was the first record, the first time I had really focused on composing as a musician. I think it's really important to be able to do that. Jazz has been that way since its conception, you know, putting together the blues, putting together Western classical music. Because you can trace, there's arguments still today about the roots of jazz and the cotton fields of slavery. You can trace it back to there, obviously, and there's also roots of jazz in classical Western music, and those two things coming together. And in my opinion, you know, as a musician, the great artists, the great jazz musicians, Miles Davis, John Coltrane, there are people out there who are playing their music, and in my opinion, nobody's going to do it better than Miles Davis. Nobody's going to play a Miles Davis tune better than Miles Davis. Nobody's going to play a John Coltrane tune better than John Coltrane. There's no reason to retread those steps, because you know they've already been taken, and taken as far as they can go, in my opinion. And the responsibility of the artists, there are many artists out there today, jazz artists out there today, integrating their own lived experiences into the music. And I think that is where communication can really come from in this music. So,
this tune we're going to hear next, called "Last Flowers," this is one that is somebody else's tune, right?
Yeah, this is a Radiohead composition. It's a B-side, actually, from their last record. Was entitled "In Rainbows," and they released this thing called a disc box, where you could get the record on vinyl, and they also would include a bonus disc of about, I don't know, 7 or 8 tunes. And this is a composition of theirs, which they had actually had on the back burner for a few years, maybe like 5 or 6 years, and finally got down to recording it. And it's a piano ballad. And the lyrics really spoke to me about how society becomes ever more reliant on technology, and so much so that it starts to take over their lives. The things that you own end up owning you, type of a thing. And so I figured that it would translate really nicely to a jazz ballad, and arranged it for my group.
But you have stripped out the lyrics from this.
Yeah, thankfully you won't hear me sing on this. Doing everybody a favor.
You'll be singing on which saxophone on this one?
This is a tenor saxophone.
Still on the tenor. Charles Lane with Brent Jordan on drums, Chris Nolte on bass, Laura Driscoll piano, and Zubin Edalji on trumpet. Heard on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Thank you. There's more to that tune, but there's also more to this conversation with Charles Lane. Charles Lane on the tenor sax with his combo, Brent Jordan, drummer, and Chris Nolte, bass, Laura Driscoll, piano, and Zubin Adelchi, trumpet. The tune was called Last Flowers, originally by Radiohead and adapted here by Charles and the combo. Charles Lane combo going to be playing at the Iron Post, and we're actually trying to check on the schedule because there's a bit of a mix-up as to whether they're going to be at the Iron Post tomorrow night or Thursday night at 8 o'clock, and we'll see if we can get that updated before tomorrow's calendar, if not by this afternoon. But you're also in town to record with the combo. This was your first record made at Pogo Studio, and here in Champaign, Mark Rubel has been on the show a couple times and has recorded so many of the artists of many different types of music. And you're coming back from Philadelphia to record again with Mark. What is there about Mark's work? I mean, why not record in Philadelphia?
Well,
there's probably two answers to that
at least. Mark's he's just one of those souls that's just so easy to work with, and he is really focused on making things comfortable for the artist in the studio. He's really focused on bringing out the best in the band, and it's a great studio. He's got so much there to offer. The atmosphere is fantastic, and he's just a really knowledgeable guy. He's been in the business for so long, really good as a mentor for advice in just like the business aspect of music. And also, you know, coming back here, it was a good opportunity. As much as my combo out in Philadelphia is spectacular, got some really great players out there coming out of Temple University, and just local guys. It was an opportunity to come back here and record with people that I had grown with as a college student, and getting an opportunity, you know, maybe one of the last opportunities to play with these people, and I wanted to take advantage of it. Going to be in town for a month, and I, you know, gave them a call, had some new music lined up, and they were just as excited to get back into the studio and, you know, try to create something new. So
they, in this case, is actually a slightly different group of players. You're going to be using a different trumpet player from Philadelphia and a different pianist, just by virtue of availability.
Exactly. Really excited. The trumpet player that I had on my first record, The Price of Air, Zubin Adalji, one of the greatest musicians I've ever had the opportunity to play with. He's living in, he's back and forth this summer with an internship in New York. He's getting his master's degree at New York University out there, and he's also going to be in India this summer. He goes back there with his family almost every year. But Dan Nissenbaum is coming in from Philadelphia to play trumpet on this record, and he's a spectacular player out of the New England Conservatory. Really been fortunate enough to play with him. And then, unfortunately, there was availability, as you said, issues with getting Lara back on the record. But fortunately, there's plenty of great pianists in town, and one of the greatest in town is this really young guy, Dan Pearson, who I've been fortunate enough to become friends with, and really excited to play with him on this record.
And is this group then that'll be playing at the Iron Post?
This is the group that will be playing at the Iron Post, sans the trumpet player, possibly. Trumpet player.
Depending upon which night you're at the Post. You know, I might as well mention, since Lara Driscoll's on this record, she's playing tonight, as she does, I think, every week at 6 o'clock on Tuesday nights at V Picasso Tapas Bar and Lounge downtown Urbana. She does some solo piano there. They always have some, very often have some jazz at V Picasso, and as long as I'm at it, there's some other music going on in her area. Tonight at 5:30 at the Kickapoo Landing in Oakwood, Joni Dreyer and Dave Cooper are playing tonight, 5:30. Corn Desert Ramblers are doing, I think they do a weekly gig at the Rose Bowl Tavern downtown Urbana. Seems like most of what I've got on tonight's schedule is in Urbana. We also have Lisa Cerezo and Steve Meadows, voice and guitar, at Memphis on Main in downtown Champaign. That's tonight at 9 o'clock. Tomorrow night, the traditional Irish music session at Bentley's Pub in downtown Champaign. That's at 7 o'clock. Donnie Heitler does his weekly jazz piano gig at the Great Impasta downtown Urbana at 6 o'clock. What have we got that's outside of Champaign-Urbana? Tomorrow night at 7 in Decatur, it's the Decatur Young Park Singers at Oak Grove Park. And in Watsika, the Cherry Street Arts Festival gets underway. It is tomorrow, maybe it's just a one-day thing, tomorrow from 9 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon. And looking ahead, this weekend is the Champaign Music Festival downtown Champaign. First time around for that, I believe.
Can I just say something real quick about Donnie Heitler?
Absolutely.
I just wanted to say, for those of you that are listening, this guy is one of the greatest piano players who's ever lived, and I don't think enough people know about him down here in Champaign. So heading out to the Great Impasta, I've just sitting there and just listening to this guy play tunes has just been like an education in and of itself. So,
yeah, that's Wednesday night, 6 o'clock. Every Wednesday at 6 o'clock. Yeah. And then, of course, he plays other gigs now and then. I need to get him in here. We haven't had him on the show yet.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So if we can get somebody to bring a keyboard in here, because he's not going to carry it. Donnie doesn't see very well.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way. Well, we have... it's about time already to go out with another tune. Charles, appreciate your coming in.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me. It's been great.
And maybe we can work out something to have either next time you're around or maybe even later this month. I don't know. Maybe we can have you guys come in and
be wonderful. Play. Definitely.
What should we go out with? This is from your disc, your first disc called The Price of Air. Why is it called The Price of Air, by the way?
It was it came from a lyric from a band out of Washington, D.C., out of the post-punk era. A guy named Ian MacKay, who started the band, great band Minor Threat in the 1980s, and then that grew into Fugazi, and now with his partner Amy Farina formed a duo where Ian plays baritone guitar and Amy plays drums, and they're called the Evens, and it comes from a lyric from one of their songs, "Cachet Is Empty," about how really can't go anywhere without having to pay for anything these days. People are just trying to suck it out of you, so.
That does seem to be true, doesn't it? And we don't have to pay for the air yet, although we probably do in one way or another.
Exactly.
So which tune should we go out on? Should we go out on one of yours?
Yeah, how about the Weeping Rose, that last one?
Is there a story behind that one?
Yeah, there's a story. That, you know, I was going through a rough time with some family members passing away in a very short period of time. A few of them, and some friends' family passing away as well. And this was an image I saw, a painting that I saw. I forget the artist. And it really spoke to me. So I, looking at this piece of art, tried to channel those emotions through this piece of music. So,
Weeping Rose, Charles Lane, the Charles Lane Combo, and Charles Lane, my guest, on Live and Local. Check back with us or check back with the Iron Post on their MySpace page, and hopefully we'll have a clarification of which night Charles is going to be there. The Iron Post shows him there tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, but he came in thinking it's Thursday, so we'll find out. You'll either go Wednesday and hear the Charles Lane Combo or Mean Lids, one of the other, and the other way around on Thursday. So we'll try to get that clarified for you. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
And coming up, Too Loud Daddy, some singing doctors and other gentlemen going to be at the Mills Cancer Institute on Thursday at noon.
Thank you.
Charles Lane Combo, Charles Lane composition called The Weeping Rose. Charles Lane on, I guess he's on soprano saxophone on that tune, with Brent Jordan drums, Chris Nolte double bass, Lara Driscoll piano, and Zubin Idalci trumpet. Charles Lane Combo will be at the Iron Post later this week, either tomorrow or Thursday, and we'll try to find out, so I'll be able to tell you for sure by tomorrow, since there's a bit of a mix-up there on that schedule. Our broadcast today on WYLL-FM is made possible in part with support from World Harvest International and Gourmet Foods on the corner of 6th and University in Champaign, providing Champaign-Urbana with a wide array of foods from around the world, including cheeses, olives, spices, hot sauces, olive oils, and more. World Harvest invites you to join them in supporting public radio. My guest on this portion of Live and Local is Barbara Hedlund, who is the organizer, coordinator, programmer for the music series at the Mills Breast Cancer Institute, which is not the sort of place where you would think there would be a music series, and yet there is. It's at Carl Foundation Hospital and Carl Clinic at the main campus in University Avenue, one of their newer buildings, and every Thursday at noon, a 50-minute, hour-long program?
It's a 45-minute program, and it's similar in format to a normal concert series, but it's really not, it wasn't conceived as a concert series. It is a part of the healing mission of the Mills Breast Cancer Institute and Carl Foundation to provide a healing atmosphere for the patients and their support system and the staff. So although it feels like a concert series, and it's very much like all the Second Sunday concerts that I produced and helped Paul Winky with years ago from WILL, for me, the effort is exactly the same. But the intent behind the series is for healing purposes.
But people are welcome to drop in.
They are indeed. And anybody who walks by often will stop in and enjoy the music. And some people come regularly to hear the performances. And some people just happen to stumble on it and stay for a few minutes. Sometimes it's just a matter of a staff member who's only got a few minutes, but they need to clear their head and they need a distraction or want a distraction.
And then, of course, patients.
It's for the patients. Originally, if you've heard probably of the Mayo Clinic and Johns Hopkins Medical Centers, they have very similar programs. And we have such a wide array of talent in this community that we're able to take advantage of performers coming in and providing a community service for the center and anybody who happens to be in the building at the time.
Well, I'm tell you what, I'm finding out more and more just doing this show what the wide range of talent is in this community.
It's amazing,
and
isn't it?
A lot of people show up on your series, including this Thursday, a show, I guess you could call it, that is having its third go around, Too Loud Daddy. Why don't you talk about both the name and the genesis for this group of guys who are going to do some singing?
Well, the gentlemen who are performing this week are mostly doctors at Carl, and one of them is the development officer at the Carl Foundation. One of them is the singing voice consultant, who happens to be my husband, and Eric Dahlhein, the wonderful accompanist. Too Loud Daddy comes from the children of several of the performers who are very young, and because the singers are acoustically trained, their voice can be rather project quite well. And the children at a young age say, "Too loud, Daddy." Now, when they become teenagers, it'll be the parents' turn to say, "Turn it down, too loud."
Kid, yeah.
But it came from the young children of Dr. Brokenbro and Robert Driver saying, "Too loud, Daddy, turn it down."
I had a feeling that was the answer, but I don't think I'd ever asked you before, so yeah. I wasn't positive. Well, we have some clips from, was it the last one? The Too Loud Daddy 2 or maybe 1?
You know,
or not
I
sure.
Actually think if you're going to play the clip, I think you're playing. It's Dr. James Kumar, who's the head of the medical residency program, and he was also studied voice here at the University of Illinois and was quite successful, sang many solos in choral productions and in the opera, and it got to the point where I think the medical school said, you know, you're supposed to be here studying medicine and you're spending too much time in music. But he's a wonderful baritone. He's a very tall gentleman and when you look at him, you would never imagine that out of this body is going to come an Italian baritone sound. But and he's quite active as a performer, interesting to watch and fun, and the clip's even on YouTube. So people can enjoy it if they want to see it on YouTube.
And in fact, that's where this sound comes. It is not exactly CD quality sound, but it gives an idea. And so it's live. This was live at the Breast Cancer Institute. I don't want to give away the tune, actually.
It needs no introduction.
Yeah, exactly. But it's Dr. James Kumar with pianist Eric Dahlheim was playing on this one as well from the music series at the Mills Institute. And you're hearing it on Live and Local. Tell just from that, we've heard most of the performance there, even without the video of that, Dr. Kumar does indeed seem to be quite an expressive performer. I don't know what he was doing physically, but, I was thinking you could hear the audience in the background possibly just ready to melt slightly.
Oh, yeah, they were having a good time.
If I Were a Rich Man from Fiddler on the Roof, Dr. James Kumar, baritone, Eric Dahlheim, the pianist. Is he going to be one of the singers Thursday?
Yes, he is. Many of the singers are singing some solos, and then they'll end the program traditionally with barbershop quartets. I believe the last I heard, I'm not sure this is final, but I believe that James is singing On the Street Where You Live from My Fair Lady this week.
Oh, it's a wonderful song. And you've got some additional doctors who weren't on the previous programs. Is that right?
One of the performers, tenor Dennis Sims, is not a doctor, but he works with Health Alliance, and I'm familiar with him because he's a member of the choir of the First Presbyterian Church in Champaign, where Dr. Joe Grant is the music director. And he's going to be joining us in the Barbershop Quartet. Robert Driver trained professionally as a singer at Indiana University and used to work with Opera Theater of St. Louis, a very fine tenor. And he's going to sing a Purcell song. It's called Man is for the Woman Made. And another song, I'm not sure what the title is, but it's in the style of Malagueña. And he and Dr. John Brokenbro, the ENT surgeon, are going to sing the Pearl Fishers duet.
Well, that's always a favorite.
Absolutely.
Here's Dr. Brokenbro, and I won't introduce this one either, but I gather he was in costume because he gets a laugh even before he starts singing of some kind.
I think I know what you're going to do. No, he was not in costume, but...
Well, he did something.
is this... I shouldn't give away the title.
Well... You can comment as we go. How's
okay.
that?
All
Here
right.
we go. It's Dr. Brokenbro and Eric Dahlheim. This is from 2009, July of 2009, Too Loud Daddy 1 or 2 at
two.
The Mills Breast Cancer Institute. So you don't remember what he was doing there.
I can't.
I'd be scratching while my thoughts were busy hatching if I only had a brain.
If I only had a brain.
I'd unravel every pill for every individual in trouble or in pain. With the thoughts I'd be thinking I could be another Lincoln if I only.
Dr. John Brokenbro with pianist Eric Dahlheim, of course, from The Wizard of Oz, If I Only Had a Brain. And I note here, Barbara, that I guess you wrote this, that he encourages everyone present, especially his ENT staff, to echo his lament on the lack of a brain. I'm sure they probably did enjoy that.
They did enjoy it. It was, of course, totally in fun and jest. But he encouraged the audience and his staff who was there, those that could be away during the lunch hour, to... echo the sentiments, if John only had a brain. And, of course, he has quite a brain and quite a voice.
Yeah, and he, I guess he's one of the guys over there that if you are having vocal issues, is one who you might get referred to.
Absolutely. He's very, very a wonderful friend to all singers, and we all love John very much. He's also the cantor, or one of the cantors at St. Patrick's Catholic Church here in Urbana.
All right.
He takes his music very seriously, and is actually one of the people behind the music series, and the idea behind the music series. So we're very grateful for his vision.
And Robert Driver is another one.
Robert Driver is another one, absolutely.
What is his role?
He's a development officer for the Carl Foundation, but he's also a very fine tenor.
As we're about to hear, this is there's a story behind this one. It's called Time to Say Goodbye, also in Italian, Con te partiro. What is that from?
That's a song that was made popular by Sarah Brightman and Andrea Bocelli. That is Doug Mills' favorite song. People know Doug Mills' name from the Busey Bank Corporation, and his wife, Linda Mills, of course, is the center is built in her honor, and she loved music and wanted to keep the sense of life and hope in the with this center. So every time we do a performance, it's a tribute to her memory. So the Cante Patiro is a tribute to Doug and Linda Mills.
And it's Robert Driver singing, once again with Eric Dahlheim on the piano. And this one comes from the same one last year, 2009. Too Loud Daddy 2. Too Loud Daddy Part 3 is going to be this Thursday at noon at the Mills Breast Cancer Institute on University Avenue in the Carl Clinic campus, starting at noon. And it's always a free program. We're talking with Barbara Hedlund, who puts these programs together here on Live and Local. Driver in Time to Say Goodbye. From Too Loud Daddy Part 2 last July, Too Loud Daddy Part 3, featuring Mr. Driver and Dr. Kumar and Dr. Brokenbro and some other singers, including Ronald Hedlund, will be performing, and Eric Dahlheim back on the piano, and some other guys as well, thanks to the working of Barbara Hedlund putting that series together. It's a great series, and we love showing, giving previews here now and then. So that's this Thursday at noon. What's next Thursday at noon?
Next Thursday is a program featuring a string quartet from members of the Champaign-Urbana Symphony, a tribute to the early films of Walt Disney, and it's called Quintessential Disney, and we'll have a PowerPoint presentation behind the music, so it should be a lot of fun. And it's a program for children of all ages.
Next Thursday at 12. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.